You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
Here we are, Diana. Yeah. We're going to talk about Born on a Thursday.
We are, but I am trying to find... This is... pardon me. This is where I just think, okay...
What's happening, folks.
Well, I actually can't get that mic to come on.
Which mic?
That one.
Oh.
We can share.
The Playwright.
Will you share?
Yes.
That would be marvellous. Okay.
I've gone round.
Yes. Okay. And we have to have the Playwright because Playwrights are always left out.
except today. Full of them.
We've yeah,
just been
it's true.
To a Playwright.
Who won? Elaine Ackworth, who won the Seabourne Playwrights Award.
Fantastic.
Yep, and she's from Brisbane.
Of whom, as you know, Di is the chair.
Of course.
And yep. Make sure that my phone is between you, so that you can we can
so
hear you. But
the three of us.
The three of you.
Oh, there we go.
That one's on.
No, they're all on now. You've just poked it.
Well, the one they're sitting
oh,
in front
was
of
off.
Was
oh,
quite.
So are they all working now?
They're all working now. Okay. Look, okay, folks, this is Technology City. God knows what's going on, but it might even be the right microphone or the wrong
microphone. Is Born on Thursday about high-tech, Jack?
It's not, but we might tweak the plot now that we have such good material.
I think we should.
We've actually made it very specifically so that there's no tech.
No, yes. Tech dates a period piece, so we've peeled the tech away. But, you know, perhaps, Susie, you've given us reason to put some back in.
I think I'm up for a bit of AI because I don't think any of us have any idea where it's going to take us. I'm so fascinated by it, I mean, or terrified, whatever. In the meantime, Born on a Thursday, Jack. Were you born on a Thursday?
I was born on a Thursday, Susie, yes.
And what Thursday's child is...
Thursday's child is
I've no idea.
I've forgotten the rest of it. I think he might be generous.
Of course, potentially good looking,
very handsome. Yes, very handsome. Possibly in the mind of his own. Yes. No, I'm not sure how the rest of that little limerick goes. But yeah.
It's all right. We'll cope with that.
The only one I can think of actually is the magpie one. I think one for sorrow, two for joy.
Two for joy.
Three for a girl. Four for a boy. Six for silver, seven for gold, eight for a story never to be told.
In the meantime, when does Born on a Thursday open at the Old Fitz?
Well, we preview, Susie, on this Friday coming.
I'll send it to you.
This
Friday?
This Friday, yes.
Does that mean we're opening on Sunday?
We're opening on Sunday.
At 5:30.
Yes.
We know. Well,
5 o'clock.
Oh, 5 o'clock.
We have to both be there.
Now, is it extra long?
Well, maybe only in comparison to the slate of plays that are sort of typically in the new work slots. It's a 2.5 hour full length play.
It's 2.5 hours.
You've just done, what, 3.5 with King Lear and
we have.
15 yeah. with...
we have.
Well, so I want to hear no complaints.
No complaints. And
there is an interval. You know, you can go to the loo, you can get a vino, you can get a beer.
And Present Laughter, which was 3.5. I mean, we're almost now accustomed to anything over 3 hours. Anything under 3 hours, forget it.
Easy. Walk in the park.
No, 1 by 11. I have to tell you, that one is not working.
Great.
Yes.
I will.
So you have to scoozle around. It's just bloody ridiculous. Sorry, folks. We will we'll get there in a minute. Tony, these two, they're stuck on four. Oh. Tony's come in.
And is rearranging the tech. See, just as well we were talking tech.
I couldn't get it off four. Here we go.
We'll have to extend the show.
I should be saying la 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 at this point.
Well, what we could be saying is...
we can say that...
Have we got it?
Thank you, Tony. Beautiful.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, we've now got the right number of mics, the right number of people. We don't have a poodle mic, but never mind.
We're sharing.
She's sharing.
So
she's
opening Sunday at 5 o'clock, which is the really best time to start the show, I think, whether it's 2.5 hours or 90 minutes. How long have you been doing this? How long has it taken to get from... idea to stage?
I wrote the first draft in January last year, Di, and then Lucy and Emma have an open submission portal. So in August last year, I sent it to them. They hit me up in November and said, can we do this? And then we started sort of working on that refinement development process. So it's been about 2 years total, but about a year working with the two of them. So yeah.
Good grief. That's incredibly speedy.
How difficult are they to work with, Jack?
Emma and Lucy.
Oh,
goodness. I mean, they've got me under the thumb, put it that way. Yeah, there's no breaks, there's no sleep, horrific work conditions. Mm. No, they're wonderful.
I think that it's an appropriate moment for me, mm-hmm. Susie, to just say that I think Diane and I, have the highest regard for the Old Fits. We really do think... I think we see some of the most exciting plays because they're all new plays.
Mostly.
Are they all new plays?
Nope.
We do a couple of classics. We did Betrayal earlier this year.
Yes, you do. You do.
But we love an Australian premiere and we love a world premiere.
Anyway,
absolutely.
I have to. It is really the most exciting little theatre that we go to, isn't it, Di?
It's difficult to have a favourite child, but I do.
Okay.
Thanks, Diane.
So you've been working on it last year, this year, with Lucy and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more.
About the play itself or about the process? What would you like
to
know?
No, the play.
The play.
What can we expect on Sunday?
The play is a family drama. It's set in a suburban... Western suburbs household in the year primarily in 1999. So it's a period piece, and it goes across a full year in the life of this single parent family. So there's a mother, played by Sharon Millichip, and her daughter and her son. And about 18 months prior to the start of the play, the son suffers a traumatic brain injury a junior rugby league match. Mm. And so the play is really about the relationships between this family and their immediate sort of, friends and acquaintances in relation to this boy's recovery over the course of that 12-month period and how in the midst of difficult and tragic circumstances we sort of get on with things and we get on with things in very different ways depending on who we are. So,
mm.
yeah.
Why 1999?
I loved the specificity of picking a time and place that I had a little bit of access to in terms of very distant familiarity,
memory.
I suppose. Yes, that's right.
Unlike some of us.
Well, I wouldn't want to, make assumptions,
no,
Susie.
No, never.
But I liked that time and place. I liked the fact that we could strip the technology out of it because, sometimes I feel like technology can date a piece a little bit. But also the play is in conversation with this ongoing dialogue everyone's having about brain injuries in sport. And it's sort of right before that stuff really, kicked off with all the CTE stuff in rugby league and rugby union and boxing that's so prevalent now. So I think it's an interesting... time to pick. And I love all the Aussie nostalgia that can go along with that period of time.
Yeah,
so.
Well, coming up to the millennium, as it were, I mean, that was supposed to be when civilization, as we knew it, was going to bunk out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, it's funny you should say stripping out all the technology because I do remember 1999 very well indeed. I was working at a magazine called The Bulletin, which predates you guys totally. But one of the journalists, we had computers and so on, but one of the journalists came to me and said, I can't get this to take. It won't take. So she kept writing stuff and then didn't save it. So it was before saved.
Oh, dear. Oh,
and
God.
Then one day she said to me, what is this... Lojin. It wants me to lojin. What's lojin?
Oh.
And, that's... You don't even think
so
about...
You then showed her how to log in.
Log in, yeah, indeed, indeed. But lojin, she thought it was French. And,
oh, dear God.
Indeed.
So she was writing and losing everything.
Yep, absolutely. Okay.
Anyway,
absolutely. And
people did. 1999, you remember, Jack.
Listen, remember is a relative term. I think I was three. But,
you do not. You're a liar.
or an anomaly. But no, I have a memory of generally the sort of turn of the century and being being obviously a child at that time. But, you know, I go around to my, say, grandma's house, and it really is like the house that the set designer has built for the play. It is that time capsule. And so I do have a very, a sort of, there's a suburban lock of like, that's what this time period was. And it's nice to drop a family into that. And I think to go, yes, the play is set 26 years ago, but all of the arguments that mothers and daughters are having, and sons and
they're
daughters.
They're eternal.
Oh, they're eternal. Yeah. So.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? I mean, we caught up with Virginia Woolf last night, mm-hmm. and that play is 63 years old.
Wow.
But there's no sense of it whatsoever, unfortunately.
What's the saying? The more it stays the same.
The more things change, indeed. Mm. But people's behaviours. If you're going to have a toxic relationship, it's going to be a toxic relationship, isn't it? We just have names for things now, like
and a lot more psychologists.
This is true. A whole new industry, indeed. So the 1999, so it's specifically 1999, which I find fascinating, because I love those specific things. Yeah. It immediately made me think, I don't know whether this would make a great play, actually, a book by Andrew McGann called 1988. And it was set in 1988. He didn't remember much either, but he wrote about it. And it's 1988 was the bicentenary year, where all sorts of horrible hoo-has, you know, rah 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 was going on. And he wrote this book where the hero goes through the entire year of 1988, leaving Brisbane, going to be a lighthouse keeper in Gove, and you have no sense whatsoever that anybody knows anything about the bicentenary. Mm. It's like it just passes them by. And it's the most fantastic way of realising that some of these big things, like the millennium, mm-hmm. so a lot of people have no idea.
If you're a lighthouse in Gove, you wouldn't...
Yeah, or if you're wherever you are, but you might not know anything about it. And I think 1999 passed a lot of people by.
And that's a big part of it too, Di, that's sort of in there and not something that's directly discussed within the play, but there's, you know, you're getting up to all the Y2K sort of stuff. It's very much a turn of the century play, and yet we are so sort of sequestered within this household that we have no touch with that outdoor turn of the century sort of anxiety or whatever you want to call it that was happening. It's very much about the tension within this family and what is happening in their lives across mm-hmm. this year. So.
Yes, because most people actually aren't interested in the news. They don't watch 7:30.
No.
You know, they don't do any of those things.
They're worried about the fact they haven't eaten since 4 o'clock.
And is it going to be Macca's tonight?
The reason for introducing a disabled, or what was the phrase you used?
Traumatic brain injury.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The reason for introducing that into Born on a Thursday, mm-hmm. which is going to open at the Office this weekend, what was the rationale behind that?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't think quite in such sort of device orientated terms, I suppose. I think it's just it's a thing that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing I haven't seen that represented in say theatre in Australia. It's a thing that definitely in more sort of sporting circles is discussed as being very pertinent right now and particularly the last sort of 5 years.
Mm.
I my interests are pretty broad. I love the theatre, but I also love, you know, sport and things that are a little less sort of artistically inclined. Mm. And so I always like to go, well, how can I take something from that part of the world and put it on a stage? And so maybe people who aren't, you know, habitual theatre goers might also engage with that as well. So I'm always, looking for things.
Well, it is certainly something that's being discussed all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It?
Yeah.
And I must say, I mean, just terrifies me that women... And I mean, nobody could be more for equality than I am, but The other side of that is that it just scares the life out of me. All these women are going in to play rugby. Rugby.
Oh, yeah, it's flying off now.
Terrifying.
Yeah,
terrifying.
It's all
But on the other hand, there's a tragedy last week with that young boy.
Eli Katoa. Yeah.
That was hit in the...
Oh, the young boy was hit in the neck in the nets. Yes, yeah, and he died. Yeah. It was tragic.
Exactly the same as actually happened in a full-scale match, and he didn't have the right helmet on.
Same as what happened to Phil Hughes 10 years ago.
Oh, good God.
So, yeah, these things are out there, and I think in answer to that question, Susie, they're being talked about in pubs and in RSLs around the country. So yeah, let's get them on the stage
as well.
I mean, we've had football plays, and they're generally about, well, the one we had at the Old Fitz actually, which was just football.
That's in the Wolves.
Yes.
And that had Sophia Nolan in it as a. I think she was. What, maybe 18 when she did that role, and now she's back with us doing this show. So we've got, so isn't that lovely? It's her first time back on our stage since that play.
How gorgeous. Yeah. Well, that was a tremendous way of looking at sport for people. You know, I always said to people, don't think about the fact that you don't like, that's not the point. You're missing the point. And it sounds like this is the point of this is actually about humanity.
Well, absolutely.
Frankly, sport is about, it's a form of theatre too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Just gets more money than theatre.
That's right.
Don't start me off.
And more television coverage.
And more television and more newspaper
and more
coverage.
Yeah.
Indeed it does, yeah. So why did you pick it, you two?
Oh, it was quite a shock, actually. So we had our, I would say, like, I didn't really want to do a new Australian work this year. It's a lot of work, Di. My goodness. So I was, I did three last year. We did Sitting Screaming, Cut Chilly, and Frame Narrative last year. So it was huge, and I was pretty tired. And so, I was going to do Ifjen, Ira, and Splott this year, and I thought, I'm going to save the last slot of the year for myself to do a classic. And coming up to the New Works Festival and all that would be nice. And then I just couldn't find the right show. And I was really struggling. I was trying, when you're running the Fitz, which is such a all-body-consuming thing to do, to then take extra time out to lead a production, you just have to really want to do it, So I just couldn't find the right thing. And then we had open submissions, which I was not looking for a show in to do ourselves. I thought we would find something separately to that, our own production. And met this one. We did an open... Oh my gosh, these dogs are so cute and distracting.
Kissing.
That's adorable.
We have two dogs in the studio.
We sure do. We did kind of an open program we started last year where artists come and meet us in person and talk to us about their projects. So we met Jack through that, which was really great, and to hear about his work. And then we got a panel of readers. We got 170 plays last year.
Did you really?
Yeah, we got 215 this year. So it's just insane back there.
It is.
Submissions.
Yeah. Scripts.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
So we got a panel to help us last
year.
So
repeat it again. You run a program.
That's right. It's called Open Submissions. Well, you have to have a producer attached and a script. Well, you don't have to have a script. You have to have a script. And all some people come with more devised works that aren't a script based. But yes, you have to have a show and you have to have a producer. That's all you have to have. Jack came to us with a full team. And this show, and I thought, who's
irresistible then, wasn't it?
Well, no, we had 170 of them, so not really, to be honest. So we're like, who's this guy we've never heard of? Sure, put him on the pile.
They're talking about you, Jack.
I'm occupied with the dogs.
Yeah, I know, it's very distracting. And then one of our panelists read Born on a Thursday and said, Lucy, this is really special. You need to read this. And so I did, and I said, damn.
Damn.
I really did. And I wrote to Jack and I said, look, I know this is kind of crazy. I know you've pitched with a full team, but would you let me and Emma do it? And he said, yes. So it was, my mother said...
Well, it was that or the old fit.
That's right. My mother said she didn't want a third child, but I was the baby she had to have. This was the show we had to have.
And my team were happy to be relieved of their duties. There were a lot of friends helping out. So, yeah.
No one was hurt in the process.
No, it all worked out for the best because Emma and Lucy are the top of their craft, So
now we do have a magnificent audience, and they know almost everything about the arts, but I'm just going to mention, because it occurs to me, we're discussing this play, which sounds so exciting, that the Old Fitz, just in case you haven't been to it, folk, is in Woolloomooloo as part of the Old Fitz pub. So you can, back to my favourite topic, you can have dinner there or a bite to eat after the show, if it's, the show starts at 5 o'clock. But just suddenly occurred to me that maybe we're talking about the Old Fitz Theatre and people might not know that it's opposite the kindergarten where my daughter once went. But it's actually the Old Fitz pub in Woolloomooloo. There we are.
And look, I don't think anybody...
It's going to open on Born on Thursday.
Anybody who listens to this show would know about the Old Fitz actually, because we do bang on about it a lot. But look, the fact is that it is... We've just been talking to Elaine Ackworth, who has this company in Brisbane called... The Wisdom of Elephants?
Assembly of Elephants,
which I think is the most brilliant idea, and what they do. We don't have anything like it here, but
yet
there's nothing else
yet
quite like the Old Fitz, actually, in terms of its personnel, because they are brilliant, and you're bloody lucky, actually, you playwright person. You really are.
Jack?
I feel bloody lucky to have this group. It's really special. Well, I'm really excited for you to see it.
Isn't that good? Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, is it? Because you can... We have people's... Your reaction is to say, oh, yes, it's great. And you think, little fib there. Because it's good. It's okay. But I think... this is a word that I rarely use, because Susan and I have differences of opinion about the word trust. Susie says, I trust them with my life, and then they turn out to be a complete bastard. I, on the other hand, don't trust anybody.
Mm-hmm. But good pair.
Actually, oddly, I do trust you. If you say it's going to be good, I think it will.
Yeah.
So, isn't that weird?
Going to be.
That's very
yes,
nice to hear.
Indeed.
And it's a family story set in the...
Set in the Western Suburbs in 99. Yeah. We got beautiful. They put together a beautiful cast.
I was
cast
going to say Western girls. Suburbs, and then I thought I should check. Because the Western Suburbs mean... What does Western Suburbs mean?
Well, it means a lot
Central
of...
Central Sydney.
Yeah, well, nowadays it is, isn't it? I mean, once you hit Parramatta, you're still in town, really.
So. Yeah, well, it's the centre. Parramatta is the centre
exactly.
of Sydney.
And it's closer to the CBD than it is to Penrith. So, but this family lives in sort of South Penrith in our world, but again, it's never directly addressed.
No.
It's just a feeling.
And suburban.
Suburban.
Yeah. Lucy, how are things, how are you finding things in this current climate at the Old Fitz? I mean, you know, everybody's talking about things, everything being difficult, audiences. How are you going?
Oh, big question, Di. We're doing a kind of crazy thing at the Old Fitz. I mean, Emma and I, you know, we're only in our second year, and we had absolutely no funding at all when we walked in last year, and we had a lot of energy.
No funding.
No funding at all when we started, when we walked in. And we had enough from the 10 years of experience. Like, we had enough from our company and doing shows that we could make it through to June. And then we had to figure something out. Otherwise, I'd lose the company I'd been building for 10 years. So we walked in with these crazy stakes.
So where were you doing the company for 10 years prior to the
Old Fitz? I was just applying to do shows at the Fitz, at the Seymour Centre. You know, we'd be in those application
anywhere.
Rounds that
yes,
Jack was
yes.
in every year and hoping to do shows. So getting a venue was so big for us.
Yeah.
Right. And so we came in and we thought, well, we've got no resources at all. So we probably should start small, but we didn't. We just did the opposite, which was let's just show everyone what we want to do while we have the energy to do it ourselves, just yep. Emma and I, and hopefully then get enough people to trust us to make it sustainable.
And
we're on the way, you know, like it's, we're
are
not
you getting
there.
Funding?
We've now got Create funding. We've now got, like some philanthropic supporters who we just wouldn't have survived without. We have a community that trust us, and we have a part-time production manager and an assistant producer and a box office manager. And like it's getting there. It's not there. I mean, we're doing 30 shows a year. So we're really...
Did the Seaborn Foundation
The Seaborn Foundation, absolutely.
Assisted.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. We love the Seaborn Foundation. And yes, exactly. So this community has gotten around us and kept us going. So I can't really complain. Like, we're at, you know, this where, as I say, like, it's a really long journey to sustainability. We're not there yet by the slightest. But the people that have come out to support us in the last 2 years, I can't be anything other than grateful for.
Well, hello, philanthropists out there. Yeah. If you love the outfits, here is your opportunity.
Well,
to,
if you love good theatre, actually.
Give them a good Christmas.
Thanks, yeah. Team. Absolutely.
But it's about good theatre, Susan.
Yes,
I
realise that.
It's about going along knowing that it's going to be, at the very least, it's going to be interesting. It's probably going to be exciting. And more often than not, it's a complete thrill. And you think, oh, my God.
May I ask you a question? You run a 60-seat theatre?
55.
55, with no bottoms on the stairs. Can that be sustainable without...
If you get smaller patrons.
Oh, yes.
Need a lot of little
children.
People.
We'll just start doing children's theatre.
We were at the concert hall recently, and there was a chap there who did take two seats, didn't he? And you probably would have loved him, but you couldn't fit him in. I'm very glad I don't know. I mean, yeah. Anyway, that's the question, because I do wonder.
Yes.
So 60 bums on seats.
Well, 55, and that's our fire capacity as well. So it's not even a case of adding more seats or anything. That's the max that room can hold. And no, it's not sustainable on box office.
At the moment,
we're 50% box office, and from our annual income, and that's pretty much capped. Like, that, we just cannot grow much from that.
No.
There's not much growth there to be done. So it really is philanthropic government that will allow us to grow.
Well, the fact that you actually do frequently, you do two shows in a night.
Yes.
With a late night show, as it were. I mean, that's the most you could do, isn't it?
It really is. And our main stage shows are selling at 85% capacity throughout the year. So it really is. We're putting good theatre on, and now we just need some backing. Exactly.
Okay. Well,
Jack.
Everybody's got to listen to the fact that this weekend,
yes,
Born on a Thursday opens at the Old Vic.
It's a really special production, and we've partnered with the Australian Sports Brain Bank as well to support that conversation about traumatic brain injuries in sport, which has been really special, because the conversation we're having in 1999, that it wasn't a conversation yet. So we're seeing these discussions behind closed doors within families, but it wasn't being researched.
No, those are the people who are now dying.
That's right. Exactly. So we've got this like modern conversation with our charity partner kind of supporting the conversation we're seeing on stage. It's really great. I'm really proud of this.
Well, I have to tell you, it is 11:58.
So you guys really have a lot of hard work, don't you? Because in addition to putting on a new production, as you say, you then have to go out and effectively look for sponsors, as it were.
Absolutely, Okay. It's been a year of developing the new work and finding the funding to put it on.
Yep.
So it's been a really big year in the lead-up to this production.
Mm. Now, what we do have to do, if we've only got 2 weeks left, we've got Present Laughter still running at the New.
Done that.
Which is wonderful. And
Done that. While you were fetching them in, I did all of that.
Congratulations, Get Rich.
Thank you so much. Yes.
And the Seagull opening tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Indeed.
Wow. So,
I like that one.
O's all opening.
Well, that was
a
quick fix conversation. And Ben Fink is in Bondi.
Jolly good. So okay. Well,
we're transferring.
Look, you two, thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
Thank you for coming
this
in.
This morning.
It's always so much more fun.
So much more fun with you two and these dogs in the room.
Yes, we've got four.
That's right. It's a joy.
Well, they're not dogs. They're carer poodles.
Oh, there you go. They do look like carer poodles, actually. They're very caring.
Charlie, particularly. Yeah. So, thank you very much. And we are now going over to
thank
Bondi
you for listening
for
Arts Tuesday. We'll see you next week.
You certainly will.
Yeah. You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.